The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott or go to freddiescott.org. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Once again, we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll be talking about, of course, the Penn State scandal and what parents can do to protect their children. We've got Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy's thoughts on the Joe Paterno firing, and also a moving story of a gentleman named Tim Ross who was abused, sexually abused as a child, and why he doesn't carry secrets anymore from our great friends at I Am Second. Also, former PSU alumni will be calling in later on, giving their thoughts on Happy Valley, and as always, we'll have an All Pro Dad play of the day of exactly what we as parents can do regarding this tragic story that's happened in Happy Valley. Now, of course, what a difference a week makes. Last week, we were simply talking about the AD stepping down for perjury charges, and then, of course, in State College, just the world got turned upside down, and we're going to be talking extensively about that later on today in the show. The big story last week used to be LSU over Bama, and unfortunately, it just seems like a tragic story of what's happened in State College. And me being a Penn State guy, my heart goes out not to the program, but and obviously that has a personal impact on me. But most importantly, my heart goes out to every child that has been impacted, and every family that's been impacted by these allegations of what Jerry Sandusky did to these kids. Before we get into that, this has been a crazy week in sports. Still, again, we had LSU and Oklahoma State impressive on the line, and I've got a good friend of mine, Lamar Campbell, who's joining us as always, the host of Life After the Game, joining in as we talk about this weekend sports. So, Lamar, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Freddie. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing well. Thank you so much once again for joining us to talk about this weekend in sports. And obviously we've got a lot to talk about, not only what happened in State College, but let's focus in on the sports side of it. In college on Saturday, we had LSU and Oklahoma impressive. We had Oregon win big over Stanford, and of course Boise State fell as well. And Houston is now one of the three undefeated teams left in the country. So to you, who do you think is going to be matched up for these BCS games? It looks like LSU and Oklahoma State, if they went out, that's going to be it. But where should Houston fall in this? Because they are blowing teams out.
I think Houston, I've always been a fan of the underdog, Shreddy. I think Houston, unfortunately, with the conference that they play in, will get looked over. But if you look on wins alone, you know, it's hard to look at a team that has no losses on their record. As former football players, you know, every game is usually a tough game. You know, you're out there, you're practicing, you're getting ready. So to say that Houston hasn't put in the work and hasn't put in the time and energy to, if they go and have an undefeated record, to not be in a BCS talk, but unfortunately money plays a part, divisions play a part, and of course conference plays a decision in that. So while an undefeated team as Houston should get a shot, I believe at the national championship, I don't think they will, and I think we'll be looking at Oklahoma State and LSU.
Now, I'm blessed to have one of my former teammates on the line just called in, Justin Williams. He is on the line, formerly number 27 for the Penn State Nittany Lions, and a great friend. Justin, welcome to the Freddie Scott Show. How you doing today?
I'm great, Freddie. Good to be here, bro.
Man, thank you so much. I want to get your thoughts, some specific thoughts of what happened in Happy Valley right after the break. And I've got Lamar on now. And, of course, we wanted to talk about a little bit what happened this weekend in sports before we get specific into what happened in State College. And your thoughts on this whole BCS thing. Obviously, I think, you know, back when we played, there was no BCS. If you went out, you went out, you play your schedule. How do you think things should shake out with all, with seems like we're going to have multiple one-loss teams that seem like they should have a right to try to play for a championship?
It's true. I'm of the mindset that there should be a legitimate playoff system in D1. You know, money rules, of course, but if it's not settled on the field, then you know, to me, I think it's, at the end of the day, a bankrupt sort of a thing. Get your top six teams, do a playoff, and decide it. There's got to be a way to merge the bowl system into that kind of a system at the D1 level, but it's got to be done, and and money is the only thing stopping it.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think there's too many people making too much money to want to change the system, and the arguments against the tournament really don't stand to me. You know, when you start talking about, well, you know, the fans won't travel. Well, they travel for the NCAA basketball tournament.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, we're concerned about their tests. Come on now. Really, that don't even go there with that. You know, so,
right.
You know,
right.
Every other sport has it. You know, we should go ahead and have a one on the game. Now we also had, with both Stanford and Boise falling, and, of course, Stanford, you had Andrew Luck, you know, who they had projected to win the Heisman. Do you think, Lamar, that Stanford losing is going to hurt Luck's chance in winning the Heisman? You think they're going to try to pump somebody else into that number one slot?
You know what? I don't think he lost, but I think right now what it's become is a more even race. LSU may be the number one team, but I don't think they have a legitimate Heisman candidate on their team that's really polarizing in the world of college football right now. I think that loss to Andrew Luck and the way he lost, I had picked Oregon for that game that night. I thought they had a lot of speed, too much speed for Stanford's defense. I felt that Stanford had a weak secondary. Nothing against Andrew Luck's work ethic, but as a defensive back, I haven't been impressed with him all year. Definitely a solid quarterback. I look at NFL college throws, and this is about the best college football player. And unfortunately, they look at teams with winning records and dictate, and a lot of times that dictates who the Heisman Trophy winner is. I think with that loss, I'm still rolling with Trent Richardson. I think he is doing great things down there in Alabama. I think he had a bad game last week. However, I do think he's my front runner for the Heisman Trophy, which was the best all-around college football player right now. So I think it definitely affected Andrew Luck and put him on an even level with all the other Heisman hopefuls out there.
Now, Justin, we've got, you know, you remember back in the day where you have the projections and when you think somebody should come out, and of course everyone thought that he should have come out last year and he would have been the number one pick in the draft. Do you think he may have lost some money here by not having that just positive showing that I am head and shoulders above everybody else in college?
For me, Freddie, the bottom line is this. These young brothers have every right to decide their own fate. He chose to come back, and I would suspect that he's not regretting it. If he's, you know, a level-headed brother, he went back hopefully to finish his degree, to enjoy his time there while he can with his teammates. Hopefully, he's enjoying himself, win or lose. And you know, you can't control what's going to happen. You make the best decisions you make, given the time in which you have to make it, and then you live with that, man. And so, I hope he's just enjoying his time there and getting his degree. In the grand scheme, that'll be most worth it.
And you're exactly right. A lot of times people put a lot of focus on that, and it seemed like if that was his focus, which was just simply making money and getting to the NFL, he would have left last year. Right. But, from everything that he released, it seemed like he really wanted to enjoy his time in college, and he was really enjoying his time with his teammates. Now let's switch gears and go to the NFL here. Last night, of course, we had the Patriots win big over the Jets. And Lamar, you know, the Jets head coach is a guy that likes to put his likes to be very vocal. And do you think he maybe have put his foot in his mouth and what he thought the team would be able to do, because they went into New York and dominated them? What are your thoughts on that Patriots victory?
You know, I think it said more about where the Jets are and where the Patriots are. At that time, as of yesterday, with the injuries that the Patriots have had, you respected New York. This became a situation where New York was the better team, and they should have won that game. And so you look at the situation where you're supposed to win the game, that you're a better team. Unfortunately, they have the Golden Boy, and they have Bill Belichick up there in New England. So they definitely came to play yesterday. And for the first time, looking at the interview this morning, it's about time Rex Ryan ate some humble pie. And I think his team was humbled yesterday. Hopefully they can take it as a teaching moment. But I think it showed that, you know, all the talk, while all the bravo that Rex Ryan is and all the circus that surrounds Rex Ryan, it comes down to winning football games. And until your team is winning football games consistently with the same guys that they had last year that went deep into the playoffs, I think it's time for them to find. I think they're having an identity crisis right now. I think it's a good time for them to have it, because they still have a chance to get the season back on track. But as of right now, the Jets are overrated. I don't know what they'll do for the rest of the year. But they lost to a superior team at New England yesterday, and I think the New England Patriots will now start to get things back on track after this win against the New York Jets.
You listen to the Freddie Scott Show. We've got Lamar Campbell and Justin Williams on the line. We've got just a minute till break or so, but we've got a caller on hold. Michael, welcome to the Freddie Scott Show. Say hello to Justin and Lamar.
Hello, Justin and Lamar. How are you?
Hey,
all right,
Lamar,
Mike.
How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. What, you got a question or a comment?
No comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is
Michael Archie.
Don't call. You know I don't know you as Michael. You are Duke. I'm sorry, everybody. This is Michael Archie, a.k.a. Deuce, running back from one of my teammates at Penn State, calling in. We're going to be talking in the next segment about this whole Penn State thing, and I appreciate you calling in. Now, let's go into there were some impressive victories this weekend. We had the Bears, who looked very impressive quickly, and I'm going to need one-liners from everybody. Who was the most impressive victory? The Bears over the Lions. You had the Texans look very, very good in their victory. And then you also had San Francisco beating the Giants, who still only have one loss. So who is your team? Is it the Bears, the Texans, or the Giants? Lamar.
I'm going to go outside the box and say the Denver Broncos is my most surprising one this week.
Oh, you're going Tim Tebow. All right,
Justin. Say what you want about his arm, but the kid's winning ball games. Can't deny that.
I got to give it to you. Justin, who is your impressive?
I'm going to go with the 49ers, man, and for one reason. Our boy Bobby Engram there is on the coaching staff, and they got the record to back it up right now, so I'm going to go with San Fran.
Nice. Good. Penn State shout-out. Deuce, who do you think had the most impressive showing yesterday?
I'm going to go with San Fran as well. I'm going to follow Justin. The reason why I'm so impressed with them, because sometimes some people may think, are they pretenders or contenders? And right now, I would have to say they're contenders.
You know, I think that Jim Harbaugh is doing just an outstanding job out there. He's got basically the same team that he had last year. They didn't have any major draft picks that really was a game changer. Same quarterback, same running back, same receivers. But they are just playing some lights-out football and playing with a lot of confidence right now. So I've got to agree, the 49ers, I think, are a very strong team. The Bears, again, they are impressive, but we'll see. When we come back after the break, we'll be talking specifically to my former teammates, Justin Williams and Michael Archie, regarding the Penn State scandal and getting our thoughts on exactly what happened and where do we go from here. You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show.
Right by me.
internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, this is your show, America, and thank you again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. And the call is free, 888-346-9144, 888-346-9144. Of course, today we're going to be talking about the Penn State scandal and specifically what parents can do to try to protect their children. Later on in the show, we're going to hear Tony Dungy's thoughts on the Joe Paterno firing, as well as a moving story after this break of a young boy who is sexually abused and what and why he doesn't carry secrets anymore from our good friends at I Am Second. Right now, we've got on the line Justin Williams and Michael Archie, two of my former teammates there at Penn State, and obviously we are deeply moved by all the things that have taken place Just personally, I know I started, I don't know, some of you maybe have seen my interviews on CNN and HLN, and I felt like you had to choose in this situation. Either you were pro-Joe or pro-kids, and the way the media sort of presented it is that you couldn't be both. You couldn't appreciate what Joe has meant to football, meant to young athletes, meant to young people, and then at the same time, be truly, genuinely, sincerely concerned about what happened to these kids. And so, Justin, what were your thoughts? Obviously, all of us have been tremendously impacted by what's happened and have a lot of
feelings. It's been a heavy time, Freddie. It's been a real heavy time. I was able to go up to campus on Saturday and we're all part of a Letterman's Club. And we had a meeting with a lot of former players Saturday morning early, and a few significant things came out of that. One of them is, as Letterman, we do feel we have to decide what course we're going to take in the very near future to, get out our message. Certainly in support of the victims and abused children any and everywhere. I mean, there are things that we've set in motion to raise monies to, convey that so that people understand, not every single thing that Coach Paterno has touched is invalid or tainted. And then secondly, I'll just say that, our brother Mike McQuarrie, things that have been reported about him, let's just say that it didn't go down the way it's being reported. And as is often the case with explosive issues in the media, what initially comes out often is not what is quite accurate. So we just need to stay tuned and, let the legal system take its course. He is bound. Coach Paterno is bound, and they can't speak publicly. But it was really re-energizing to be up there this weekend and to meet with a lot of our brothers, man, and just get some certain things clear.
And, you know, I sort of felt like, Mike, again, appreciate you coming on the show. You know, it really did feel like there was the witch hunt, so to speak, as far as soon as, like Justin was alluding to, as soon as a portion of information was leaked or released, people just ran with it without getting the whole story, without reporting it fairly and accurately. I could listen to multiple reports, and the way they tried to project the incident wasn't necessarily what was even in the grand jury report. I mean,
sure,
just,
sure. They didn't try. They did. It has been certainly shaped in a particular way, and that suits the ends of the media, Fred. And, you know, there's so much competition out there nowadays, so we understand why, you know, stories will break and not necessarily break with 100% accuracy. It's about a race to see who's going to break, what first. But, we do have to try to be, especially in this particular instance, those of us who understand that program and understand, the full tragedy of this program, coming out of that program and knowing what Coach Paterno made us go through and what he represents, it is a big tragedy, but first and foremost for those abuse victims. But, as I'm sure you'll get into later on, it's nobody can really tell. You can't tell who's going to be a child abuser just by looking.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Justin. It's more, once the story broke, I think we've all heard one side of the story. And I think as former players and knowing that we has had personal relationships with Coach Paterno and staff in the school, we certainly don't want to sit and for us, it's not want to sit and hear one side of the story. I mean, we want to hear both sides of the story. We certainly do want to hear from Coach and the other people who were in the seat of power to do something as well. We really want to hear the full story. So far, it's been one-sided. I think Coach Paterno deserves his chance to speak, and along with everybody else, so we can get the full understanding of what went down, how it went down, and when this all came out, everybody can be quick to point the finger and say, Coach is responsible because it's under him, and I'm sure Coach is feeling a little bit of that pressure, and sure he's mentioned that he wish he has done more and did more, but like Coach said, he has 16, 17 grandchildren. I can't believe in my heart, and I know you guys can't either, that he would want any of that to happen to any child.
Right.
So, it's definitely, some hard feelings as far as trying to pick a side or choose a side. It's not about picking a side. We definitely feel for the children. And we definitely want to help as former letterman of the Penn State football team. We definitely want to help the children in any kind of way. And I'm sure if we spoke with Coach, he does too.
I want to sort of touch on one thing, though, that clearly has been misrepresented regarding the grand jury report, as well as the information that's been quote-unquote reported as far as Jerry Sandusky still having access to the facility. Now, you and I, those of you that have attended college, and of course Justin and Mike, in spring break weekend or summer vacation or Christmas vacation or even Thanksgiving, during the holidays, the campus is a ghost town.
Right.
Everybody is gone. And so if you're talking about a situation where Jerry has been alleged to bring children up on the facility,
The time frame, according to the grand jury report, was during spring break. It was a Friday night of spring break, which would have been a ghost town. The football staff isn't there. Joe isn't there. People are traveling. The students aren't there. And most likely, that's a time frame where Jerry may have thought that no one would be there. And that was the 2002 account. But that's not what's being reported. It's reported that the football program allowed him to still have access to the facility, and painting it as though it's being done in plain sight. So, Justin, what are your thoughts on that? Because you and I both know, you know, during the holidays, nobody's there. And if you know the schedule and all of that, and, you know, you can know how to get in.
Right. The media certainly is kind of fusing, you know, when Jerry may have been choosing to bring kids on campus to, you know, actually abuse them versus when he was bringing them around for practice and in more public times. So this kind of fusing the whole idea that this was happening, the abuse was happening beneath Joe's nose. And, you know, it's hard, guys, because, you know, the bottom line is, you know, even, you know, after whether it be after 98 or after 2002, you know, big names on campus knew what was going on, and Jerry was still allowed to even be present at practice with or without kids.
Right.
Okay? And that's as recent as a couple of weeks ago, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is hard to, you know, swallow. So, you know, it's hard for us, as you intimated earlier, to feel supportive of our program, of our university, of Joe Paterno, and at the same token, you know, have compassion for what occurred to those young lives, man. You know, and from our standpoint, we can't choose. I can't choose between those two. I have to be a full advocate for both.
Exactly. Right is right, wrong is wrong, just like you very, very well stated. I think I'm trying to hold back my judgment until I get the rest of the story. You know, why was he still allowed on campus afterwards? You know, and, you know, basic things like that. But it's heartbreaking to even think that things like this was happening, and that people knew about the allegations and nothing was really done.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, your thoughts. We've got 2 minutes before we go to break. Parting thoughts on the week in Happy Valley.
It was definitely a trying week for the program. You know, to see all the events take place and to come out and, you know, see the change in guard, his coach, and getting fired, and you know, and Coach Tom Bradley taking over the team and kind of get those guys prepared to play. You know, there's another side to this story, not to the story, but what the current players up there playing, and you know, them not having anything to do with it. You know, I give them a lot of kudos for coming out and playing the way that it did. They really they fought hard. They played hard. I'm sure they wish that you know, a few little balls bouncing their way here and there, that the outcome would have been different. I'm sure it was hard on them to take that loss, but they fought pretty well, and I was very proud of them. And then for the Letterman's Club to really speak with the club and write a letter. Even though I was not up there, I read that letter to the team, and it was really great to see the support from the Letterman's Club.
Well, I want to say again, thank you to you, Justin, to you, Michael, for coming on the show and sharing your heart. This has been, again, a trying week for all of us that love Joe and love Penn State, and not just love Joe just because he's Joe Paterno. And please hear me. If you're listening, this is not because we've been brainwashed into something. Joe Paterno has helped make and form so many young men to understand what it means to be a man.
Yeah.
To forge character and integrity, you know, to do the right things right, to go to school, get up and go to breakfast. I hated having to get up and go to breakfast because I wanted to sleep in. But he made sure that we had a program and a system academically as well as athletically to make sure that we prepare for success in life.
Right.
And representing the thousands of other scholar athletes that came through his program, we do want to say, Joe, thank you for what you have done to us and for us. And we are committed to make sure we continue to live our lives in the way that you coached us to, on the field and off the field. When we come back after the break, we're going to hear a touching story from Tim Ross from I Am Second, a young man who was sexually abused and how he overcame it. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to The Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to The Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Again, this is your show, America, and this has been an interesting show, to say the least, beyond just talking about the world of sports, but, of course, what's been happening at Penn State. And now let's focus in on what we really want to focus in on, and not just the Penn State program, but the kids that were affected. And here's a touching story of Tim Ross, who was sexually abused as a young child, and it started as a chain reaction of consequences. And first he was protecting the secret, and next there was an addiction to pornography in his life. And what followed after that is he began to live a double life. And at the age of 19, the secret that for so long he was trying to hide was exposed. And with it came freedom. So now let's go to Tim Ross's story of how the love of Christ can win out and help you overcome any addiction or anything in your life. Here's the story of Tim Ross.
Nobody wants to live with a secret. It torments your soul. It bothers your conscience. I created this guy that everybody loved, and I went home and didn't like myself. The effect of holding a secret that long is that you never have the freedom to be you. I don't carry secrets anymore. One day, we were playing in a neighborhood. I grew up in a nice little neighborhood and just playing with some friends. There was a neighbor that lived across the street from me. And he told me to come over to his house. So I came over to his house and didn't go inside the house. He said, you know, come in the garage, I gotta show you something. And so I go into the garage and he just starts touching me. Just inappropriate touching. And I was 8. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what he was doing. But I knew it wasn't right. And I came home and I walked in the door and my mom asked me, how was my day? That was the day I became a professional liar. And I got real good at it. A couple of days later, I got called to the garage again. And again. And again. And again. I don't know how to process this. I don't know where to begin with this. I don't know how to deal with this. All I did know is that if my dad found out, he would kill him. So I had to keep it a secret. I was literally becoming two different people. There'd be the guy that could go to school and kind of get through a day. And then there would be the guy that cannot stop looking at pornography. This is not casual. This is, I can't stop. I'm driven to this thing. So I had to keep it a secret. I don't want to deal with these questions. I don't have answers for this. I'm 12. I'm 13, 14. I'm 15, 16, 17, 18. I'm 19. And this thing, it's still on me. She caught me. I didn't know what to say. I was embarrassed. I felt like a pervert. I felt completely disgusted with myself. Because she's a praying woman, she went back to her room and started praying for me. It's probably the best prayer I think my mother has ever prayed. I didn't hear it, but that prayer came and got me. I got up, cleaned myself off, walked down the hallway. If I made a left, I'm going to go to my room. I'm never going to talk about this again. If I make a right, maybe I'd have enough strength to go in her room and tell her what the real situation was. Because it wasn't porn. That wasn't the root of the situation. My mom cried. I cried. And she went and got my younger brother. He came in the room. He said he got molested by the same guy. Then all three of us cried. My dad comes home. We share what happened. And then my mom says that she got sexually abused when she was 6. And then my dad says that he got molested when he was 5. So in one night, my exposure caused everyone to kind of come clean and confess. Their pain. I mean, that night, man, I just can't articulate to you the freedom I felt to be able to tell the truth to somebody and not be judged. It's the most, oh my God, you, and to have the truth come out and be surrounded by nothing but love. My parents, their relationship with Christ is amazing. They have always been authentic and real in how they live out their faith. Man, I just thank God that they weren't like the type of deep religious people that can't handle pain. I was just happy that they were, that they loved me, that they didn't judge me. We didn't grow up in an atmosphere where we saw any hypocrisy. My parents weren't one way at home and then another way at church. They were the same people. And they told us the right way. They showed us the right way. And then they just prayed for us. And, you know, when the Lord got ready for us, when he called, we knew his voice because they taught us well. I would love to tell you that as soon as I accepted Christ into my life, I put porn down and never picked it up again. But the fact that the Lord would be patient enough with me, knowing that it didn't take me 5 minutes to get into it, and it probably wasn't going to take 5 minutes to get out. But if I just started walking with him, he would just start shedding layers of bondage and abuse, molestation, low self-esteem, people-pleasing, this stuff. As we began to walk, stuff would just start falling off of me. And that he would give me relationships. And God really wants to love you. He loves you through people. And he brought people into my life to literally love all that crap out of me. And it's been a great walk. 14 years, still walking. It's been good. So I don't carry secrets anymore. My name is Tim Ross, and I am Second.
Wow. Again, I want to thank my friends at I Am Second for sharing that powerful, powerful story of Tim Ross, who at 8 years old was sexually abused, and his journey of secrets that he was trying to hold back. And again, hopefully that can take us into the life of these kids that were abused, and the fact that there is hope. There are things that we can do to try to help them. As soon as we come back after the break, we're going to hear from Tony Dungy and his take on the Joe Paterno firing, as well as we're going to hear from Brian Pruitt, and we're going to talk about what can we do as parents and mentors to make sure our kids are protected. This is Freddie Scott on The Freddie Scott Show. We'll talk to you soon.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand.
He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. We appreciate everyone that's already been on the show, from Lamar Campbell talking about this weekend in sports, and two former Penn State teammates of mine, Justin Williams and Michael Archie, a.k.a. Deuce. And now we're joined by someone that's been on the show before and a good friend, Brian Pruitt. Brian also runs Power of Dad and runs a mentoring program, and I wanted to bring him on because in light of the allegations there at Penn State, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people questioning whether or not, one, should I even allow my kid to participate in a mentoring program if there may be sexual predators out there that I may be exposing my child to, and or if I'm a person like Brian or myself that has a heart to want to reach out and in a positive way, really make a positive impact on young people, what are the things that I can do to protect myself, protect the kids, protect the families, protect the organization? Are there things that we can do that can allow the community to trust the work that we're genuinely trying to do for young people? And so, Brian, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Great, great to be with you again here today, Freddie, and I'm honored to be a part of the show and that you're talking about this particular subject.
Well, what are your thoughts as a man that has an organization that reaches out to young fatherless boys, in your heart to do something very genuine and sincere? What are safeguards that you do to make sure that no sexual predators are a part of your organization or affiliated with your organization?
We go through a number of steps, Freddie. One of them, first of all, what we do is we do background checks on anybody who comes to work with us or comes to work with our young men or our young ladies. We do background checks. The second thing we do is we get really practical. We tell all of our leaders, never be alone with students. We always tell them that. A, to protect themselves, and A, to make sure that the kids are protected. Because any allegations in any direction could be detrimental to the entire vision. So we tell any of our leaders, never be alone. I believe there's a reason Jesus sent people out two by two. And so we tell people to work in groups. We document everything. So everything we do, we try to make sure that it's on paper so that we know where you were, at what time, and why you were there. We always, always make sure that we understand that parents are going to have concerns in these situations. Don't take it, don't be offended by their concerns. Listen to what they have to say. Often the kids that we get have parents who have been sexually abused. And so their parents will know that the kids need a mentor, but at the same time, many of their parents have been hurt sometimes by a mentor. And so that's always a red flag, something we always have to look at.
Now, that's just very, very sound advice. So if I'm a parent out there, then I should be asking any organization that I may be interested in participating in is making sure that just what you said, do you perform background checks? What's the trainings that you give your volunteers? You know, do you make sure that, you know, no one is there alone? Now, so then a lot of the things that have happened obviously was just a clear violation of some of those basic principles that are safeguards not only for that child, but also for the organization, correct?
Exactly. If you look at some of the situations, even what's happened at Penn State that's come out this weekend, it was always somebody sneaking up, catching another person doing something wrong. If you have another person who's there holding these people accountable, maybe none of these things happen because somebody reasonable is there to say, hey, wait a minute, you know. So you always send your leaders in twos so that there's accountability. There's somebody to vouch for everybody there.
Wow. Wow. So it doesn't matter the name of that person, how influential that person is in the community.
I'm the founder of my organization, and I will make sure that I live by these rules. Why? Because I have a family. I have children myself, and I also understand that if any allegation came towards me, it doesn't take the truth to destroy you. You know, all it takes is an allegation, you know. And so you need to make sure that the kid is protected and that you are protected. And that's the best situation for whatever your mission is and whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
You know, it's interesting. This weekend I had a really busy weekend. I ministered at a church called Faith for Life Church for my pastor and bishop, Keith A. Butler, down there in Round Rock, Texas. And on the flight out there, I was sitting next to a gentleman, and of course the Penn State subject came up, and he said, you know what, something just happened regarding my 7-year-old boy who was playing football. And he said, my in-laws called me and said, hey, I need to talk to my son about, you know, what's happening, and they said that his coach is touching him.
Yeah.
And so he talks to his son, and he says, his son says, yeah, every day my coach keeps squeezing my balls.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, my goodness, what are you talking about? And so over the course of 2 to 3 conversations before he called the police, before he called the coach, before he called other parents, he tried to get clarity on making sure, because the boy is 7,
to
get clarity on exactly what he's talking about. So he says, son, show me what your coach is doing to you.
Yeah.
He's like, no, Dad, I don't want to. No, no, come on, son, show me what he's doing to you. And his son takes him by his hand and then squeezes it and squeezes his knuckles together and makes them roll. You know, when somebody tries to squeeze your hand real tight?
Yep.
And he was calling his knuckles his balls.
Ah.
And so even when you're talking about addressing the situation as parents, because immediately when you hear certain things, you can immediately want to run to jump to a conclusion.
That's right.
It's still important to make sure we get clear understanding because he said, oh my goodness, I was about to destroy this man's life over something that was totally innocent and totally appropriate. I not, you know, he was hurting him, but you know, he didn't like it, but I guess for whatever reason the coach thought it was cute or whatever, but he could address, hey, just don't squeeze my son's hand versus touching my son.
But you know, the thing is, what that shows you as parents, when we talk to kids, we talk about our private parts. We put all these cute names on these things. And so when our kids go to tell us things, there can be miscommunication because we're, you know, you say, well, he ate my cookies. Well, what does that mean? You know, or he did this. You know, we use these cute names for things. And sometimes what that does is it breaks the line of communication or it brings about misunderstandings when the truth really needs to be told about some of these issues. So with my own children, I don't use cute names for private parts. We call them what they are so that if anything ever were to happen, my daughters, they know if they say this to me, it is very clear to me what they're talking about. One statistic, Freddie, that just comes to mind is 1 out of 4 boys and 1 out of 6 girls before they're the age of 18 will be molested. And what that tells you is that we've got an enormous problem more so with boys than even girls.
Wow. Now, I promised what Tony Dungy thought about this whole thing at Penn State, and he released this statement. He said, I, like most football fans, have been following the events that have unfolded at Penn State regarding Coach Joe Paterno and the football program. Having known Coach Paterno and Jerry Sandusky, the coach that has been charged in the allegations, I am shocked at what has been alleged to have taken place. I have always had the utmost respect for Coach Paterno and the way things have been run at Penn State. I played with and coached many players from there, and they all have nothing but incredible things to say about him. That being said, though, I believe the university had no other choice in this matter than to accept his resignation or force him to step down. I think they made the right move in ousting the president of the university as well. When something of this magnitude happens, I think everyone in leadership position is responsible. Whether it's directly your fault or not, it has taken place under your watch, and there is no way that public confidence could ever be regained without change in leadership. I also think that this is a reminder to all of us that we all have a responsibility to hold each other accountable, no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's a subordinate, a coworker, or your boss. If something is taking place that is wrong, we have to address it and make sure action is taken. I'm sure there's a lot of people at Penn State who are saying in hindsight, I wish I had said something or I wish I had done something. When it involves something as serious as child abuse, we can't afford to assume that someone else will handle it. We have to act. It's just sad that it appears that so many children were hurt as we're learning this lesson. And my parting thought of the day, here's a couple things that I'll suggest that we can do as parents addressing this issue, especially if your children are asking you about this story. Here's some things to consider. One, there's no need to go into tremendous detail. Your kids will likely forget about this in a couple days. Two, it's another opportunity for you to reiterate that there are bad people out there and to never be alone with someone you don't know. Three, also mention how not telling on someone when they've done something bad causes even more pain, and it's more important to let others know when something is being harmed or when someone is being harmed. Let your kids know to come straight to you if they ever suspect someone may want to do something bad to them, and discuss what constitutes inappropriate touching, just like Brian talked about. And then please keep these abused boys and their families in your thoughts and in your prayers. Until next week, this is Freddie Scott. We look forward to hearing you next time or seeing you next time on the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then. It's all right by me.